Welcome to Building Beyond, a space to connect with remarkable guests who meld ancestral wisdom with both ancient and emerging technologies, showing us how to design and build the world we want to live in today, beyond what we're told is possible. I'm your host, Lee Para, and I invite you to join us to imagine what could be, to get inspired, and to start building beyond together.
Hey, Erica.
Hi, Lee. Hi, everybody. Pues bienvenidos. Welcome, Lee. Thank you for having us here today, organizing this. My name is Erica Casasola. I am a energy shifter, curandera, guide, coach, among other things that you will hear here in just a moment. But I'll pass it on to Lee.
Thanks, Erica. My name is Lee Para, and I'm a geographer and community builder. I built a tiny house community, and I've always kind of known there's other ways to live. And so what I wanted to do today was to explain how Building Beyond came to be, because it really did just start as an idea for a podcast, but it has grown into something much larger. We also have another team member that we'll be bringing on later. But Erika and I kind of have some personal stories as to what led us to this work, and we wanted to share those. And so I'll start off with my story, and then we'll lead into her story. And then we'll talk a little bit about what Building Beyond is and how you can get involved. As I mentioned, I've always known there's other ways of living, and I had the fortune of growing up outside of Western mainstream culture as well. My parents taught at international schools. I grew up in different cultures. And I also grew up with a pretty strong cultural heritage from my grandparents who came from Northern Finland, from Lapland. And I mention that because during the pandemic, a lot started happening for me, as for many people, but I had lost two important people in my life. And I had moved back to Mexico. I'd gone to high school here. My mom had taught here. And I moved back to just take a break. And then the pandemic hit. And not surprisingly, I ended up at there's an abuela, a teacher I know here, and she has a place called Centro de Medicina Ancestral, Center for Ancestral Medicine. And within 2 weeks of getting there, my ancestors started talking to me around the fire in the Temescal, and she and some others really helped me to work with them. And throughout that process, I was in a deep dive for over a couple of years, working with teachers and actually being called to my ancestral homelands in what's called Sápmi, which is all of northern Finland, what is now Sweden, Norway, of the Sami people and of Finnish people and a lot of different ethnicities who have coexisted up there. I grew up in almost like an animist tradition. And as I started doing this work, I remembered that. And I remembered being able to not be in this Cartesian dualistic mentality of me, human, as subject and everything else as object. And I began to get frustrated because I didn't feel like I could talk with people in my profession. I come from geospatial technology, and now I'm working a lot exploring artificial intelligence, gaming, and ways that we can really take this emerging technology and merge it with our own memories and our own ancestral wisdom to create better conditions here on Earth. Not just keep it in the metaverse and all of these tech bros who want to colonize Mars or colonize the moon. Why would we use this technology to do this? Why we have this amazing technology that can help us reconnect to land, reconceptualize how we live on this earth. And as I was talking to people in my industry or profession, they kind of looked at me as woo-woo, right? You're anthropomorphizing the technology, to which I say, no, you're coming from a different perspective. We can't look at other worldviews from this dualistic perspective. So how do we actually exist and start to work in worlds in which, as the Zapatista women say, many worlds can coexist? Mm-hmm. So as I started, I was, you know, on this journey, this very personal journey myself, having these talks quietly with people one-on-one, people started asking me, well, where are you having these conversations? I want to learn more. And so that's how the podcast Building Beyond came to be, because I was like, well, I should be sharing these conversations more publicly. So that's how the podcast came to be. Erika's going to tell us a little bit about how the work came to be. But before she does, she was with me in Mexico when I did the first interview, which you'll hear next in our series, with an abuela named Abuela Maritza, who will explain a little bit more about why Mexico. I know so many people here who, when they got to Mexico, their ancestors started talking to them, and the role of the lands here and the role of the traditions here. And in fact, even the beautiful music you hear on this podcast is from a friend of mine here who also had a similar experience, although he comes from very different traditions. And hopefully we'll have him on the podcast as well to talk about his journey. So that's a little bit about my story. And I'm going to pass it off to Erika to tell her story and to weave in how we got to some larger work that we'll be talking about afterwards.
Yes, thank you, Lee. I'm excited. Yeah. Thank you also so much for sharing your lineage, for honoring your ancestors. Thank you for that. And this is why I think we're here together, you and I. My story, my name is, like I said, Erika Casasola. I was born in Mexico, and my mother brought us here at, how old was I? 10 years old. And the way I became a curandera, I'll start there. Someone in Mexico, an elder, I have a twin, so it'll come into the story. And they said, you have something. She pointed to me, and I'm like, what? I was playing with ants back then. and then I asked, what do you mean? And she's like, go get me a red thread and a needle, and I'm going to show you. You have a twin too, right? And I said, yes. And so then I went into her house because I was playing. It was a friend of a family, kind of, an elderly woman. And so I go in there and I got the thread and the needle. I know where she kept it. And so then she taught me how to use it as a pendulum. She told me, ask it to say yes. And this is what it's going to do. And when it says no, it's going to do this. So it started doing that. And I'm like, wow. And I wasn't moving it. So I'm like, wow, I was taken back. And then she started letting other people who were pregnant and say, hey, let this child to see if they can tell you what the sex of the child will be, or the gender, excuse me, of the child will be. And so I started doing that. And then people started noticing that, like, oh my goodness, that is true. I had this gender, I had that gender. But there was certain times that it kept just going in circles and circles. And to me now, with what I know, that just meant to me they're either in a binary, gender nonconforming, or queer, who knows, right? So that was my first taste of being introduced of medicina tradicional in Mexico. And my grandmother was also to carry some kind of medicine, but I wasn't able to learn it from her. She was gone by the time I was able to learn these things. So then as a survivor of sexual abuse while I was in Mexico by the age of 5 and 10, and doing that point in my life, I learned how to travel, and I learned at a really young age how to travel to remove myself from my body so I wouldn't feel pain and things like that. So right away I started connecting, and now I can see that. Back then I didn't see what I didn't know I was that I was doing that, but now I know that that experience helped me do this. Not that I had to go through that, but I know that's what I took from that experience. I said, you know what, that maybe that's what, so I can learn. So now I'm really good at connecting right away with the cosmos, with the universe, with the guides and things like that. And so fast forward, I come to the United States. I meet another curandera. She right away, she's like, hey, you have something. Same scenario. And I was trying not to, because I was raised Mormon. I'm a baby of 10. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. So then we come to the U.S. I'm already older. I'm already in my 20s. And I had to stop practicing my curanderismo because my mom did not, my son accepted. And so, but then this healer comes up to me and she tells me, and I'm like, I know, I'm just trying to run away from it. And so I said yes to her. I met her. She taught me, her name is Virginia Marie Rincon. She's one of my maestras. And she taught me Corazonadas. And then from there, she introduced me to Maestra Rita Navarrete. And in the midst of it, I met another teacher, Rose Twofeathers, who's a Native American here in San Antonio. And Virginia Marie used to be a nurse, and then she became a healer. And Maestra Rita Navarrete is in Mexico. And so those people taught me a lot. And I mean, this medicine has, curanderismo, I think, gave me la plataforma to then take off to this other, to this medicine. And then Lee comes in into the picture in a different way. I'm also queer. And so we ended up getting some land from my father-in-law, and we got it not as a gift, but it was like almost like a gift because, you know, we got it at the prize at 20 years ago. So he had been in his possession for over 20 years. And so he passed it on to us. And so I wanted to do something with the community, like build tiny homes. So this is when Nell looked for Lee, and then we got in touch. But then it, I don't know, a year and a half later or something like that, Lee, right? I go to Mexico for a whole month to be with Maestra Rita Navarrete. And Lee is there. So I was like, oh, Lee, I can, maybe we can be together for a minute or so. Then I go there and I get this message like, okay, Erika, you learned everything you needed to learn from Maestra Rita. And not that I'm an expert at what she does. That's not what I'm saying. But for what I was born to do for my mission, that's what it feels like in this lifetime. I had learned everything I needed to from these teachers. And so now I needed to already pull that away. And I think, and Maestra sensed it. We had a really strong conversation with tears and everything, but in a happy way. We ended things. Of course, I love her and we still talk and everything. But at the moment, I felt like I needed to, it felt like this urgency that I needed to leave and call Lee. And so then I called Lee. So then we start driving throughout Mexico. Here is Lee, you know, European woman. I'm like, wow, Lee, how funny. You're going to be showing me around in my country because I haven't been here in years. And so we go to Jalapa. We go to Coatepec with all these beautiful things. But in Jalapa, we're in this coffee shop. And like, yeah, and we're talking. And usually when I am going to be with a client, when I have appointments and I see clients, I usually get in my traditional clothes and you know, and I prepare myself. But this time, your guides were like, no, girl, we're doing this right now. And I'm like, well, we're in a coffee shop, beautiful coffee shop in the back. I think we're like the only ones. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, Lee, and we're talking, and this vibration starts coming through me. And that's when I know the work is happening. And I even told you, Lee, I usually, this didn't happen, but I think, here we go. I think we're doing this right now. So here it goes. And then we started exchanging. You started telling me about your visions and things like that. And I, as you were speaking, you know, I could see you guys. And they are moving at such a fast rate, like faster than light speed of light, you know, it's just, and I'm like, no, Lee, we got to go. You got to do this. It's just this connection that I really intense and beautiful at the same time. And I think that's when we kind of knew, like, okay, girl, we're going to have to do some work together. We're doing this. And it was just happiness and an exchange because I was working on my website.
Right.
So it was a beautiful. And this is, I think, how we both saw, and correct me if I'm wrong, how our visions were starting to.
Yes.
Not blend, but it's almost like rated, like they were just rating and like, okay, we're supposed to do this work. Don't know how or what.
Well, remember
is.
We had talked, so Erika did, like she mentioned, they had reached out to me about what to do with their land. And I had other women during the pandemic, most of whom also have their ancestral lands, reaching out to me to say, hey, we want tiny homes. I'm kind of known as the tiny home lady. I was trying to get back to the tech space, but they kept calling me. And I knew I didn't want to just be a consultant, right? And I'm like, y'all, we need to learn from each other. You all are doing deep ancestral work, listening to the land, trying to resuscitate some of ancestral technologies so we can build more in congruence with the land. We need to be setting up a network. And so we explored blockchain, we explored
That's
DAOs.
right.
And when
Yes.
I came back from Sapmi, from my journey, all of a sudden the gaming piece came in. And I was like, no, I know nothing about gaming. And then when I sat down with you, it clicked because we get so constrained. And that's where it really intersected with, I think, curanderismo or the spirit realm, the ancestral realms, is that we get constrained by the regulations and the rules and everything here on earth, and whether or not there's water flowing in the stream on your land. But when we go into these digital spaces, we can really create beyond that. And looking at, and then I'm like, why aren't we doing that? Why do we have all these youth playing apocalyptic games and not harnessing that energy to help us design better communities here on earth? And that's what we started seeing together when we came together, was how those worlds, how we bring the medicine into the digital world, and then how we bring people who are in the metaverse to connect back on land, to connect to their own roots.
That's right. And that reminds me, and this is why I felt the urgency. Then it makes sense, the urgency to leave Maestra, because then I was like, wait a minute. So the guys told me, like, okay, it's what we're about to do, and this is before Lee and I even talked about this, you cannot come from the teachings that you had. They're a guide, but that's all it is. But now you have to listen to this new way of being now, because. And so in order for me to do that, I had to let go of the maestra and other teachings, but just the maestra, and start listening and become like the way these elders, when they were in this realm, the way they received messages, just sit there and listen. Not necessarily listen to their ancestors. Some of them did, but at the beginning, we all somehow we had to get downloads and listen to that. And so I had to let go, because if I was allowing this and sharing this with my elders, they were like, no. It was very binary, like, no, you cannot do this and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, if that can no longer ex it can no longer it no longer exists, and it can no longer exist in this new world that we're building, because this is it's we're letting go of the patriarchy, and some of it is very based, patriarchy based. Not everything. The medicine is fluid. I understand that, and we can have a different conversation. That's a huge ass conversation to have in a different podcast, right? But yeah, but this is why I think I felt so strong to look, okay, just let go of that. Keep the structure. If you need the guide, they give me know how to listen, how to ask, how to move. But allow the downloads to come and then follow through with that. And this is, I think, where you and I connected, because I saw how your downloads come also that strong. And I just love when we talk, it's like, oh, and we just start
And
building.
that's what we're trying to do with Building Beyond. I think we should leave people with a little bit about what we are building and how you all can get involved. And so, as I mentioned, this was originally just going to be a podcast to be able to interview others doing ancestral work who were also using emerging technology, because I was finding the two worlds pretty separate in my life. And then it's grown into, like Erika said, bringing this ancestral medicine, this cosmic, whatever you want to call the spirit work that we all have been doing, into new ways of operating in the world. Because all of this emerging technology is really forcing us to move very quickly, and it's creating new operating structures. But we're really pushing against the binary. It's not just be in the digital or just be back to land. I have a lot of people who contact me who want my help building communities, but they're isolated. No, we're just going to be back on land. We don't want anything to do with technology. That also feels isolating to me. I know my role in the world has always been as a bridge builder. And I need to be in multiple worlds in order to figure out how we use the best of everything. And so Erika can talk a little bit about what Building Beyond means to her, but for me, it's really focused on how do we use these emerging technologies to be able to build better on land. And we're using Erika's land, Tierrita Grande, as the first pilot. And we have some folks in the tech world who are helping us out with some pilot gaming platforms where we can involve youth to help us design. And then those same youth can come and actually work on the land. And so that's the first pilot we're building for Building Beyond. But in addition, we are creating a network of folks with lands. We already have some in our network, but if you also are interested, Please reach out because we're creating a network where we can share resources and share common funding pools to test out different ancestral technologies and emerging technologies like 3D printing. And we're building out that network. I think some of what Erika will be doing will be a lot more on the helping people through the personal journey as well. So if you want to talk about what Building Beyond means to you,
So Tierra Integrante is based in San Antonio, Texas. No, San Antonio, Mico, Texas. And so 29 acres. And so the dream that we have for this land is to be shared with community. So either it could be all the way from artists going, having their, como se dice, their retreat there, and or community of healers and youth just going for a hike or using it to plant. I think I'm gonna be working with Veronica Castillo, and she's gonna be teaching community. She's gonna use it to plant herbs and how to maintain the herbs and how to, like, all everything that has to do with herbs and our veggies and food that we can eat, that we can share. Almost like a communal garden that we can all go there and participate and partake of the beautiful fruit that we are planting. And the other dream is people can just go there and go for a hike. And as you go for the hike in that 29 acres, because you need some peace of mind, you go and start and kind of clean the trail as you go, things like that. The big dream for Territa Grande is to have about 11 tiny homes there. So we can actually go there and say community with the main kitchen, so the community, we can all go there and ground ourselves and really replenish our energy, spirit, before we go out in the world and do this shift that we are doing, right? And so to me, Building Beyond, it's a beautiful vehicle in which we can have this happen in every, wherever you want it, if it's in your land, if you know someone. Because also I believe as we go in community, it's not just about working with each other, but it's us working with the land. I'm a huge believer that if we work with the land with our hands, by planting, by tilling the land, whatever it is, that the land will also heal you. Thoughts will come up and you will be in community. There's so many ways that the land can go ahead and awaken that needs to be healed, or your own vocation, right? And every land is going to be different. And so it's a pilot. So to me, Building Beyond, that's what it is. It's where we're going to go, get together. It's a vehicle. Like, this is what you can do with your land, just the skeleton structure, and then you can use that skeleton structure and put it on your land to see what you can do to share with the community. And the whole point is so we can start healing the land and ourselves, so we can go ahead and build this new, God, what, world community, with this sense of this feeling of not lacking anything. If you're lacking something, don't worry, because I got you, because I have enough that I can share, and so on and so forth. And the bigger the community is, I think the more resource we have and we can share without hoarding, and making sure that there's no fear-based. Because then when there's no fear, when it's not fear-based, then it's so easy to, like, give and then to keep growing. And what a beautiful way to start growing, literally, things on your land and yourself, right? Like, that beautiful energy, keep going, you know?
Yeah, and I think we're already seeing that with the folks in our network who have lands, who are like, I want to be involved, let me know how to plug in. And we're growing this beautiful network organically. And we're also providing a space online for those who don't have lands, where they can participate and be invited and come and still have a role, because I don't have land. I've got a mobile home. I've got a tiny home on wheels. But I can go and I can work on the land at Tierrita Grande. I can work on the land my friends have here. So we're really building beyond all of that social conditioning that we've had. And we just invite you, if you see a role, if you have any sort of skill or knowledge or just excitement around this, please reach out. We're going to start plugging folks in, and we are going to be growing this as a network. And we've got a lot of the structure from that, from work we've done before together.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to add is the whole point of this technology and land is too where Lee and I come in. I think it's we're gonna merge both, so we can be so we can become even through gaming, introducing people that have never been in land or never been lived, had the luxury to be around land and to know what it's like to be out there. It's hopefully so people, not just youth, but people can start getting that craving of getting back to the earth and getting actually yourself back. At the moment that you do, then you know you start to gain ground and get all those beautiful healing energies in your body. But that's I'm hope that's what I'm hoping that Building Beyond is going to do, merge those two worlds to the point that you invite then me who's so earthbound to come and see this technology in you that you the user like you know people who are so technology bound can we can meet these two people can meet and
Yes.
we're like oh let's exchange this beautiful energy and let's balance this thing. Not one thing is bad and the other no nothing
Exactly.
is bad. It's just about balancing it. That's all. Because right now it's off balance. That's all it is.
Right. Exactly. And we're creating a circular loop with that. It doesn't have to be one or the other. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we invite you to check out the website. There's more descriptions there about what we're doing. And please reach out and look forward to our next episodes where you'll hear from Abuela Maritza, and you'll hear from our other colleague who's getting this off the ground with us.
Yay.
Thanks for
Thank
chatting
you
today,
all.
Erika.
Yeah,
Ciao.
likewise, Lee.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'd love your help growing this community, so please hit subscribe or share this podcast with a friend. And if you've got topics you'd like to learn about or a guest you'd like to hear from on the show, please just drop me a message. My contact link is in the show notes. I really appreciate you helping us build Beyond together.